Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. And today is a very special day. I'm going to try to keep it lighthearted. There is the famous clip from, I'm going to try to make sure I can keep this up, from Will Ferrell's Anchorman, where he talked about describing his emotions.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
And that's kind of where today might feel like. We start out with a victory, and then we end on a place of concern with the president's responses towards a lot of different issues. And I want to talk about that and how we are to pray, but I also want to continue to open up in the word as we find ourselves in a moment of where our need for the Holy Spirit and reliance of the Holy Spirit is ever increasing. And I want to continue and reaffirm the scripture we talked about yesterday in Ephesians 5 about how in verse 18 where it says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation," basically a wasted offering of your time, "but be filled with the Spirit." And as we're going into a season where the natural may seem bleak, or on the next day in a fleeting moment, it may seem like we're on a high. It is, rather than have these complete emotional swings, it is to be filled with the Spirit to keep us grounded on the foundation, to keep us low in the fight, in the battle that the Lord has called us to, and to be able to be a light in the season and the place where God has called you to as well. So I just want to, you know, I felt like just really hitting that verse home again today, and making sure that we're relying upon the Holy Spirit first and foremost in everything that we are doing. Okay, so we know, I have a few clips I want to play today, but some brief analysis is that we know, because of the vote that happened last night, the Senate has now rejected the filibuster removal and also the idea of federalizing the election process. Now, Biden said some things that are very alarming in his speech. I'll get to that here first. I'll get to that here later. But first, we see this happening. This is a good thing. Okay. Woohoo. Yay. Great. For literally Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema for holding their ground, as well as all the Republicans. But an analysis that I think shows just the befuddlement, I guess, of some Republican and Democratic leaders is there were some comments made after everything to kind of outline the argument. And I think this is why continued prayer for them going forward, not only on these issues, but other issues, is going to be needed in the days ahead, is because Lisa Murkowski came out and talked about how, even though she was one of the only Republicans, she was the only Republican to back the John Lewis voting rights bill. She said, "I was part of a very troubling conversation last evening. It was shared depending on which side you're on this body today on this issue. You're either a racist or hypocrite. Really? Is that where we are?" And then Joe Manchin goes on to say, "I don't know what happened to the good old days," he said, "but I can tell you they aren't here anymore." I mean, varying degree of whether we're in the good old days or not, but or whether the good old days were actually good and produced very lasting fruit is debatable. And so we're seeing the Democrats and Republicans themselves showing that there's something that needs to happen. And Joe Manchin himself said it great on the floor of the Senate yesterday when asked, or when really talking about the issue at play, because there are some things that I think have been forgotten as to what the founding of this nation meant. And here's a part of the speech of Joe Manchin. I'm going to play two clips, but this is the first one.
It means that the Senate has followed its own rule book when making changes that affect legislative debate.
And he's talking about after the vote, and really for the vote of whether we should go forward with it and remove the filibuster. No.
We've changed rules over. We've all talked about how many times rules have been changed. We've changed them, but we've changed them with the rules. We didn't break the rules to change the rules. But all of a sudden now we just can't do it anymore. Just got to blow it up. The rule book means that the rules changes are done on the basis of broad bipartisan consensus, not imposed on the minority by raw majority power. No matter who's in power, the majority does not have that power to do that in this Senate. Now my colleagues propose to sidestep this process. They would use the nuclear option to override a rule that we have used ourselves, but now seem to find unacceptable.
Yeah, 2 years ago, Tom Cotton read the speech from Senator Schumer.
Unacceptable now. We're going to break the rules to change the rules. We'll make up new rules as we go along, invite ourselves to future majorities to disregard the rule book at will. No rule of the Senate can withstand the act of a willful majority. No rule will stand the willful majority, not the cloture rule, nor any other rule. Let this change happen in this way, and the Senate will be a body without rules. There will not be no rules. The Senate's greatest rule is the one that is unwritten. This is an unwritten rule, and it's the greatest one we have. It's the rule of self-restraint, which we have very little of anymore. Self-restraint.
That's very poignant, because he's seen it where there was self-restraint. He's been involved where there were people, his predecessor was one of them who actually understood why you uphold the filibuster. But then he goes on in the another part of his speech to say this. I want to, because this is more poignant, and this goes directly at the president and some of the talking points that he says.
To be easy. I cannot support such a perilous.
He initially, if you hear him, he said, this is not meant to be easy. That's correct. The founding fathers understood passing laws, passing bills, having government get involved in processes is not meant to be easy.
Of course, for this nation, when elected leaders are sent to Washington to unite our country, not to divide our country, we're called the United States, not the divided states. And putting politics and party aside is what we're supposed to do. It's time that we do the hard work to forge the difficult compromises that can stand the test of time. And that's what we're here. 233 years. Think about it. Wars, depressions. Think of all the hardships this country's gone through, all the people that have suffered and fought for every right we have. We're not going backwards. But with that being said, we can do better than what we're doing today. We truly can. We must promise the Americans for a brighter future. I think we can do that together. Thank you.
And that's very similar to what Mara Murillo said the other day of how the church themselves needs to become united. And so now you're starting to see this play out in the natural within the prophetic. So good things have come out of this whole process, but what is, why I played the clip of earlier being the glass case of emotion is because of the president's response. So if you saw any bit or heard any bit of the analysis from Biden's, hour and a half, presser, almost 2 hours presser. It is very alarming, some of the things that he said. And I want to go through a few of them, but first I want to play this clip from CNN, because this is CNN's analysis of the overall speech from the president himself. There were times somewhat it was good. There were times it's bad. And then I'll get into the bad. But the reason it's, I think it's really important to play this clip from CNN is because it's CNN. And the fact that they're saying this, this shows, okay, they realize this. And it comes from Van Jones, who he has glimpses of intellectual journalistic integrity. Honest, moral, and journalistic integrity. And so I want to play this clip.
Pardon me?
Do you care to expand?
No, there's no need to. I mean, I asked the question. She's going to be my running mate, number one.
This is a response
and
about
number two, I did
President Harris, Vice President Harris being his running mate coming in the coming election.
Of course, I guess a defense, I don't know how you define a good job, obviously. We're about to see that fail. So
they're
that,
even
that,
questioning
that's obviously a strength.
Vice President Harris's
credulity.
Response
but
on
very
the border.
Clear there, Van, very clear.
Yeah.
On Kamala Harris.
Well, listen, And I appreciate that, and I think a lot of Democratic voters appreciate that. That's the one time that you don't want to give any a fuzzy, foggy, let me tell you a long story answer, a clear and direct.
And that's huge. The fuzzy, foggy, listen to that, what he says there. He says, okay, this response was not fuzzy and foggy, but.
They are a team. He's standing together. They're gonna fight forward. And look, I think that part of the reason that answer stood out so much is because some of the other answers were kind of foggy and meandering. I think you have to be honest that you can be a foggy, meandering a president, say like Reagan near the end, if you're winning. But if you're foggy and meandering on key questions and you're also not winning, then you've got a real problem. And so I think the real challenge that you have is the numbers are out there that are bad, but this party has got to come together and start.
Yeah, and so he's obviously trying to throw it out there that, oh, you know, we've had a president like this before, is Reagan, who Republicans tended to love. Well, from all analysis, I wasn't alive when Reagan was president, but Reagan was never nearly this bad. And so what this brings about is now the question, which Nancy Pelosi tried to get brought forward on Trump, is the fact that are they going to use the 25th Amendment to discuss the beginnings of potentially removing President Biden from office. I'm not saying that will happen. I'm saying could statements like this and public views and interactions from the president himself like this, will this be bring up cause for them to try to enact that? I don't know personally, but what I do know this is if you remember, a couple weeks ago, we played the prophetic from Chris Reed, where he said he felt like the Lord showed him, he believed that the Lord showed him President Biden would not finish this first term. So that gives us a understanding of what's to happen potentially in the days ahead. And when you see interactions like this, the White House has to come back and try to issue statements around some of the statements made around Russia. And I'll get to that here in a second. Trying to correct some of the things that he said. Well, no, he didn't really mean this. This is what he really meant to say. That's very alarming. And seeing him, and there's video clips. I'm not going to play them. It's hard to watch. You can see he has a train of thought, and then he snaps and he loses it. The president of the United States should not lose a train of thought in the middle of question and answer and get aggressive and laugh off certain questions. It's very sad to see. Obviously, we want to continue to pray for him to have his sanity and that the administration around him doesn't take advantage of him in those moments of weakness. But unfortunately, these moments of weakness and mental collapse are adding up and it's costing the country in the short term and in the long term. You're seeing it play out on the international scale. Now, I do want to get specifically to his comments on Russia and Ukraine. So he made the biggest blunder. And he ultimately suggested that if Russia were to make a minor incursion into Ukraine, that the U.S. and NATO would do nothing about it. And the only person's response from that matters the only person around the world who, you know, we have Republicans, we have this and that person saying something. The only person whose response matters is someone from Ukraine, the Ukrainian foreign minister, who says, I'm going to pull this up. This is from the Wall Street Journal. This actually just went live a couple minutes ago, actually, right before we went live. And the notification popped up on my phone. I felt like this was very crucial. It says, Ukraine's foreign minister said President Biden's comments Wednesday playing down a potential minor incursion into his country by Russia would serve as an invitation to attack by Moscow. That's a very alarming that the president would say these things. You know, we want to continue to pray for as Blinken meets with Russian officials in Geneva tomorrow, I believe. So over the night, while we're sleeping, potentially he'll be meeting with Russia and regarding this issue. And so we want to continue to intercede for the Biden administration to have the fear of the Lord and for Secretary of State Blinken to have wisdom and revelation when dealing with Russia on Ukraine. This is an ever-evolving issue. There are not only national security risks involved, but international security risk is involved as, which I think this is, this plays to why this is very significant, is the fact that Russia, this is from the New York Times. I don't have a subscription. I'm not ever going to get a subscription. But the headline is that Russia and Iran put on a show of unity against the U.S. as Vladimir Putin met at the Kremlin with Iranian's new leader, Ibrahim Raisi, at a time when both their countries, despite their differences, are at odds with Washington. And so this is a page from scrolling headlines from the Europe tab on the New York Times page, where if somebody has a subscription, they want to read it that's fine. But I just pulled this up to show this came out yesterday. This is what's happening with Russia. These countries are emboldened, Russia, Iran, China, North Korea, et cetera, which we've learned from the political leaders, Pompeo and others, that this is happening. There are others who admitted that this is a coming, growing concern, not only now, but in the days ahead. And so this is why it's important to continue to pray for the Biden administration, for Blinken, for Jake Sullivan, for those involved with this administration dealing with the negotiations with Russia, and for Europe and Germany. Like, they need to step up. NATO needs to step up and provide weapons. There were some videos yesterday of planes showing up with weapons in Ukraine, which is a good thing. There needs to be more of that to help Ukraine fight for their sovereignty, because not only politically and naturally is there a reason to stand up and fight for the sovereignty of a Ukrainian nation to hold back Russia from having power like they did with the USSR, but also prophetically, Ukraine has a nation, as a nation, has a destiny to be a voice, to stand up, to be part of that, you know, standing up to tyranny, the communism, those spirits that are trying to take over in this country, so, and the world, I should say. So we're seeing this play out. And then a few takeaways I want to follow up with on the Biden speech. There were some very alarming things that were said, and I want to play this clip, another one, from CNN, because this is very important to see the response. And this is actually journalistic integrity here from CNN to say these things. They said these things about Trump when he was in office, and he said these things. And this revolves around the fact that because the voting rights bill that President Biden wanted to push forward didn't go through, President Biden is now saying, like they did in 2016 when the Democrats lost the election, that, well, the election's not going to be fair. It's not going to be right. The same thing Trump was saying ahead of the 2020 election. But now, because Biden's saying it, oh, it's even more of a problem. So I want to play this, and I want to,
a whole bunch of different.
I'll give my analysis.
Also made news on the midterm election, saying he was asked if he believed the midterm results would be legitimate Let's play a little bit of his response.
Well, it all depends on whether or not we're able to make the case to the American people that some of this is being set up to try to alter the outcome of the election. No matter how hard they make it for minorities to vote, I think you're going to see them willing to stand in line and
which we've already proven that that is an outright and under lie. With a Rasmussen poll of 80% of African Americans, blacks, saying they would prefer a voter ID and they do not think that it is racist.
Defy the attempt to keep them from being able to vote. I think you're going to see the people we're trying to keep from being able to show up, showing up and making the sacrifice it needs to be made in order to change the law back to what it should be.
If it's to change the law back to what it should be, then why are you trying to then change it to another a place of taking a step further of allowing government more government intervention and causing more problems? But I digress.
Dan, what did you make of it?
Here's the response that is really important. Again, from CNN.
Particularly the first part, Anderson. What he said was actually the entire thing, but the first part was probably the most jarring to hear a president of the United States who is not Donald Trump even suggest ahead of time that an election isn't legitimate. Having said that, the important thing to keep in mind is what he was trying to say. And that is,
again, okay,
in
this
places
is covering
like
for
Arizona
him.
And places like Georgia, especially, that will determine votes will determine not only the governor's race, but this balance of power in the Senate. You have another Senate race there. And the laws that were put in place in Georgia were such that the legislature, the Republican-led legislature, has the ability to take the power away from the Secretary of State to determine an election. That is what he was trying to say. But
so they're covering for him, unlike they would do for Trump, where they would bash him. But it's interesting to see that she would ultimately say, look, this is wrong for the president to say this. And we're seeing coming out of this, come out of the speech that Biden gave yesterday, a couple takeaways from that. Okay, I'll get back to what she said and some more comments there, because it comes up with some of the key takeaways from his speeches. Okay, he went very long. He showed he doesn't have the stamina to go forward and continue to have these long conversations, something to be worrisome about, as the current administration will try to take advantage of that. He ultimately kicked off the midterm campaign with saying what he's going to be doing, getting out there. And he actually asked a very interesting question. And this is something to pray for about the Republican leadership, about the future of this nation, not just, you know, praying for the office of the president, but also saying, okay, where are we going? If you disagree with this, if you disagree with this agenda, then what is your agenda? And he actually asked that question. He said, what would be the Republican platform right now? And this has caused – this is a great, interesting point because you have two separating degrees from House leadership in Kevin McCarthy and Senate leadership, Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell – and there's a report from Axios that actually details this in length, and I can verify this because I've read and actually had conversations with people about this very thing. People and heard people in power say this very thing. Mitch McConnell has no plan intentionally, because he says the only idea of why you go forward of not putting out a legislative agenda is so that you can just bash the opponent. Well, the American people are done asking that question. They understand this is the wrong way to go. But as scripture clearly tells us, you pluck something in, you have to pluck something out, you have to plant something back in. And right now in the Senate, the leadership is saying, we're going to just pluck out. And then, well, you have to vote us in to see what happens. That's the same line of thinking from Nancy Pelosi. You have to pass this vote to see what's in it. Oh, you have to pass this round of funding to see what's in it, where the money goes. No, that's not how this worked. The American people are tired of that. And the reason he says he's doing this is because of what happened in 2014, where he supposedly won back the Senate. Well, guess what? It was short-lived. And so that is ultimately a long-term failure for McConnell. And so he needs to step up and put forth an agenda. Whereas coming out of the House, Kevin McCarthy is following the old process of a contract with America, and saying that he's a contract of America guy, of actually releasing his legislative agenda and say, and look, some of the, he kind of went overboard with saying he would remove people from office. That's from certain committees. While you can have that plan, look, don't worry about that. Okay, you get in power. What is your agenda? What are you going to do? And the American public needs to know that come the midterm elections. And so this is actually a great question from the president. It will continue to be a political punching bag point for the Democrats as it comes to the midterm elections. Just as Democrats, I would hope Democrats would put out their agenda and be honest and tell us what they want to do going forward. So do Republicans. And so this brings up a great question out of every, all the befuddlement, the fogginess, the whatever President Biden was saying yesterday. And McCarthy has released, and the Republican on the House side has released, starting to release more of a plan of talking about, you know, parents' bill of rights, also talking about putting teams together to go after the pre-midterm elections and holding dinners, talking about things. And the reason this is interesting and why this came up from Axios is because a donor asked in a private fundraiser that – the donor asked this specific question, and this is where this all came about, was that we all know what's wrong with – this is what a supposedly a donor asked, private closed-door meeting that somehow got leaked. We all know what's wrong with the Democrats, but what are we going to be running on to help us win? McConnell's response was something to the effect of, with all respect, that's not what we're doing, the source said. And so McConnell's basically just like, look, we're just going to punch him. Look, Senator Rick Scott, who is a part of this committee – from Florida, he will do a great job of expounding upon that. But you still have to have a plan. The American people want to know a plan, whether they're switching parties, all this movement, all this stuff. That's great. But what is your plan going forward? Why do you think people are so attracted to the Democratic Socialist agenda? Because it's actually a plan that they think in their eyes can attain to something. The reality is it won't. But there's actually a plan there. Then Biden backs down off of what he said is his goals for the Build Back Better plan. You know, we need to break it up to get it passed. Still blindly thinking that he's doing a good job, which is very interesting. So with all that being said, coming out of the speech, it's very alarming. Will we see the 25th Amendment be invoked soon, before the midterms, after the midterms? We'll see. Let's continue to pray for the office of the president, that the wisdom and the fear of the Lord and revelation come into the White House now and in the season ahead. Even if just to expose the agenda from those within power, because look, we talked about the swamp and all this stuff. And before the 2020 election, Chuck Pierce gave a word, is like, you're going to see the level sink and you're going to see what's really there. So now we know how deep and how intertwined everything really is. And this administration is still a part of that, just as much as it was being revealed under the Trump administration. And the reason this is important, the reason I bring this up is a lot of times Americans have, oh, what happens in Washington, we'll leave it there, don't worry about it. But I think now we're realizing when you just let Washington be alone, the overreach that continues to happen. Again, the main thing, foundational principle within this nation is we the people. We have a right to voice our opinions in a polite societal way. It's the best way to put it. In a peaceful way. And to let our voices heard. You saw it happen in Virginia. When you stand up, you follow the law, you do what's right, not only for your party, but for all the constituents involved underneath you. And now you just, being near Virginia and knowing people in Virginia, you just feel this sigh of release and this peace of knowing, okay, our voice does matter. Our vote does matter. And even though President Biden is saying, well, Democrats aren't going to get out of vote during the midterms because they think their voices are going to matter because lawfulness is being implemented. Very interesting there. So I close with that, really breaking down the news today, looking ahead to what is potentially to come. And let's continue to pray for the Ukraine issue as we move ever closer to conversations that are happening with Secretary of State Blinken and Russia as well. So with that, I'll close. Forget we do not have a new prayer today. So enjoy that time. Hopefully you can rest, spend some time with the Lord, and or if the Lord tells you to pray somewhere, follow his guiding spirit for you to pray, even if it's in your office, your car, wherever case around the city. So hopefully I'll be back tomorrow. It's supposed to be snow. We'll see. But with that, I hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and I will hopefully see you tomorrow. Have a good one.